Not a little thing, because somebody else may, next to you may be going through the same dumb little thing, and they're not going to raise their hand. Or they're not going to ask that question. They're just going to suffer. And so if you'll testify, if God kind of pokes you and said, testify about that, no, it's nothing. It's like sitting next to somebody in church. They poke you, and you poke them back. You know, God says, here, share that. And, you know, you say, no. Anybody ever done that? You heard a little unction? That's called the unction. Anybody wonder what an unction is? That's it. The unction is where God kind of pumps you in the ribs and says, do that. And you say, no. Well, of course you might be wrong. It's okay. Go ahead. The pastor will call you down. It'll be all right. It's not because you're bad. It's because, see, listen, we want you to be able to speak up. Well, you got to learn how to speak. If you can't speak up among people who love you, well, how are you going to speak up anywhere else? Huh? Say amen. Amen. Say that's a good thing. Speak up. Learn to speak up. Oh, my goodness. That's your check, by the way. If it hadn't come through, that's it. You know, I just got stuck in the suit pocket, and you know, somebody hands you. You know, that's why you need to make it here in time for the offering. Give it to the preacher, it'll be in his suit for 3 weeks. If you're here today, well, let's take a look. Let's see if I can just look at the name. Nope. None of y'all. Fort Worth, Jack. Father, we thank you today that you have been made. You made yourself our Father. And Father, we thank you that as you came to the earth in Jesus Christ, you came to declare that. You came to show us. You came to speak to us. You came to declare your fatherhood to us. And Father, this morning, we thank you that you will declare it loudly to us, to this body, to this congregation. We thank you, Lord, that you will declare your fatherhood to us individually, not just as a corporate church, but individually. Personally, and we give you praise. Amen. I'm not going to read the scripture on it, but how many know you're adopted? You've been adopted by the Lord. Amen. One nice thing about adoption is that you were chosen. Amen. God chose you. It's not like he cracked open the egg and, oh my gosh, you know. There you were. What have I done? God didn't like buy a pig and a poke, okay? He knew exactly what he was getting when he got you. Isn't that fun? That is so good to know. Because you feel like, so many times, you feel like you're such a disappointment. Huh? Amen? Praise the Lord. My kids may feel like they're a disappointment. They probably don't. Actually, they think they're great, right? It's amazing. Good. Better turn this phone off before it really gets me in trouble. But I tell you, God picked you. He picked you. See, my kids, you know, think they think they're great. Amen. They think their dad likes them. They think they can do no wrong. Are you like that? Are you like that? You think you can do no wrong? In a sense that your Father loves you. Listen to me. In a sense that your Father loves you and will never not love you. No matter what you do. We've had some things done in the natural and the flesh that made us think about it. But we're not God. Amen? We're not, as parents, we've had kids do things that we thought about not loving them. But you know, God said, God never will leave. He said He'd never leave me or forsake me. He will never stop loving me. He chose me. He is my Father. I'm born of Him. He chose me to give me His name. He chose me even to birth me after His name. Yeah, how many know you can be born after you're already here? Amen. You ever read John 3? You can be born after you're here. Said Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born again. So now that God chose you, then He births you from heaven. He births you again. So now, if anybody here born again, anybody here has received Jesus as your Savior, you're born again. One person, two, three, four, there you go. See, I'm going to keep this going. See, you're born again. See, otherwise you stop giving altar call. The service goes on and on till all the people who didn't raise their hand, the pastor makes sure they get up here. So it's better to raise your hand at the beginning of the service. So he births you again. So he chose you and then he birthed you again. And now, and he says, you are my adopted children. I have adopted you. And see, over in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins to teach. And he begins to teach the people. And it's very interesting how he teaches them is he begins to use the term, your father. Because the Jews are like, God. You know, it's God. You know, like some of the preachers, God. You know what I mean? I didn't still figure out how to make this microphone do that right. God. There it goes. See? And of course, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, they couldn't even say the guy's name. Somebody talked about it last week. Says, they called him Adonai. You know, they called him Lord. They called him Adonai because they didn't want to say his name. Because you couldn't say God's name because God's too holy. You couldn't say his name. You remember that, Bill? They couldn't say his name. Well, I don't mean you were back there, but. Is it because you were in Fort Worth last week? Yeah, see, you can see if I can verbatim this message. Is that God was in the Old Testament was called Hill. Can y'all say that? Hill. That is God's name. You're just gonna run your mouth and run your hand in front of your mouth. That was God's name, and nobody wanted to say it. It's YHWH. Is how they spelled it. Actually, it was H-W-H-Y in Hebrew because it goes this way. Okay, it goes from right to left. No, I guess it wouldn't. I guess they'd just spell it right to left. Anyway, see, I try to mess things up. So they tried to call it. So that was God's name. And they only knew him by that name. They didn't know him as Father. Yet he operated to them as Father. He acted to them as Father. He cared for them. You remember the pillar of cloud. You remember the water out of the rock. You remember all of the blessings and all of the miracles that God created, you know, so to carry his people. You know, the dove and the raven and the olive branch there at the ark. God cared for them as Father. He cared for Adam and Eve as Father in the garden. See, God has always cared for his people as Father. But then you come in and you get this law thing going, and like nobody's, and the idea begins to become, if nobody's approved, nobody's loved apart from the law. Well, God gave his law for one reason, is to begin a redemption process. He began that redemption process by saying, there is no way that you can come to me apart from the blood of the Lamb. Amen? There's no way that you can come to God apart from the blood of the Lamb. Fast forward, he provided his own lamb, Jesus. He provided his own lamb, Jesus. Now here Jesus was. Jesus knew God as Father. Even as a man 30 years old, having divested himself of his godliness, he has divested himself of all of his deity and power and has come into the earth in a body as a man and has known God for 30 years as his Father. As a man without sin, he has known God as a righteous man. He has known God as Father. And now he begins to talk to you. Now he begins to talk to who? The Jewish people. The Jewish people who have always known God. Who have always known God simply as, you know, you don't say his name, do you? You don't know him. You just know about him. He's big. But you have not known him. And God, Jesus says that he is your Father. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, or chapter 5, sorry. See where my first one is? Let your light so shine before, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They said, what? Do you hear what he just said? your Father. He didn't say glorify my Father. He said glorify your Father, Kathy. Glorify your Father, Susan. This is your Father. Wait a minute. This is new talk. Your Father. See, these people are coming up under the sacrifice system. These people are coming up under the Pharisees. These people are coming up under the Sadducees. And they're keeping people separate from God. There is a giant separation. You see that curtain in that temple? God's behind that curtain. It's tall, wide, and thick. And God's behind that curtain, and you cannot get in there. And even if the high priest goes in there and he does it wrong, if he holds his nose wrong, we have to pull him out by a rope. That's God. See? Anybody know God like that? Anybody raised up knowing God like that? Huh? Hallelujah. Anybody taught when you were young? That's God. God's back there at the back of that altar. Don't you eat. I remember Jim talked about this. He said, you know, the ladies with the white gloves. You almost picture the white gloves just kind of floating around by themselves, you know, at the altar, kind of taking care of all the stuff. That's what we did. We heard about white. They didn't have white gloves at our church that we were at, but they had white gloves at the church downtown. And sometimes you'd go down there and you'd see the little ladies down there with their little hats and their white gloves, and they were just all down there with the... Does anybody know that kind of stuff? Yeah, down there with the white gloves, just doing everything to, you know, get ready for the next thing, the altar guild. And so, you know, Jim talked about that. He goes, they told him, if you touch that thing, you're going to be, God will get you. So he's up there. Try this thing out. Touch it here. Touch it there. All of a sudden, you know, God's not there. He's sleeping. Remember Elijah? Where's your God? Is he sleeping? Did he go on a trip? How many know the Word of God is funny? You remember that? We were reading that the other day. We were reading that in our Bible, daily Bible thing. And, you know, it's talking about, you know, how Elijah is over there on Mount Carmel, which, by the way, is where the Baha'i is now. Big, huge Baha'i shrine. I mean, acres and acres of garden coming down the seaside of the mountain. Now, the Baal thing and all that went on the backside of the mountain. Don't you know, Elijah, if he had a grave, he'd be turning over in it? Remember he went up in a chariot of fire? Fiery chariot. But I mean, you know, now you got on the back of Mount Carmel where you wiped out all those Baal prophets of Baal. He tried to get them, even tried to help them get Baal's sacrifice going. You remember that? And then God, then nothing happened. Nothing. All day, morning to evening. Then he has them fill up. Then he has them fill up his sacrifice thing with water. Pour water all over it and say, "Hey God, you made the heaven and the earth. Yeah, show yourself glorious." Boom. Fire licked up all the water. Fire licked up the whole thing. That's how you look at God, right? That's how you see God. But it's great, you know. Because, hey, where's your... He was making fun of the other people beforehand. He says, "Where'd your God? Did he go on a trip? Is he like a vagabond? Did he go on? Or did he, you know, is he sleeping? Is God sleeping? Is your God sleeping?" It's great. It's funny. It's huge. The Scripture is full of that. Because God just looks at people's foolishness. And he goes, "What are you thinking?" Amen? He said, "What are you thinking? I made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. I'm your Father. I am your Father." Verse 16 again, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Those good works have come from your Father. You see, your good works... Now, we won't get off into that sermon. Let's just suffice it to say that God works through you. they will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So see, the fact is that people see you, when they see you and your works, they should glorify God. And the fact is that God is not anything but His relationship they even see is as your Father. The relationship that they see is that He is your Father. Now, are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? It's even the relationship that they see. So, the relationship they see is not, hey, you better straighten up or God's going to whack you. Is that they see the relationship that you have between God is just like the relationship that Jesus had with His Father. As Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, they saw that He had a relationship with His Father. Now that relationship that He had with His Father is the same relationship that you have with your Father. Amen. Your Father in heaven. The same relationship that you have with your Father in heaven. Now, you may have a relationship with your Father on the earth. We'll talk about that in a little bit in Hebrews. But is that you may have a relationship with your Father on the earth that is not so blessed. You may have a good one. But then again, some don't. Many don't. And what you have to do is get back into this Word of God and let Him show you His fatherhood. First and foremost, is to know that He chose you. You're born again because He chose you. No man can come to me unless the Father draws him. Who draws him? Say the Father. The Father drew me. Say it. The Father drew me. The Father called me. He wanted me. See? Now, so no man can come to me unless the Father draw him. So that's you. If you're born again, the Father drew you. He wanted you. He desired you. He brought you in. He desires all, but some don't choose. Many are called, few are chosen. He called you. The chosen are the ones who receive and then walk in that chosenness. So many are called, few are chosen. The called are the ones, all. His desire is that all come to repentance. But the chosen are the ones who have chosen Him, have said amen. So then they become the chosen because of their acknowledgement of the kingdom of God. They say amen, I'll be adopted. Yeah, I'll be adopted. And then you forget. And then you begin just to because you live in this world. And you're used to getting beat up and whacked and everything else. You know, you're used to that. Amen? You're used to getting whacked up in this world, so you're just used to having trouble. But God said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I am your Father. I want you to meditate on that, on these things more and more. Write yourself a little picture. You know how kids do when they Sunday school? They write themselves a little picture. Get your little markers out and make yourself a little poster. Well, I can't find one at Michael's or Mardell's. It says that, you know, you go down to Mardell's or Michael's. That's the only place, because you're not very artistic, right? So you go down and get one of the little frame things, have the scripture on it or something. Make your own. I tell the girls, write it on your mirror in lipstick. Yeah, not my girls, y'all. My girls can't do that. Yeah. Well, Janet does it. No, she doesn't do it either. Get yourself something. Make yourself stuff that identifies your Father. I want you to make stuff, especially if you've got a bad relationship with your heaven, with your earthly father. Or if you have a relationship that's just, maybe it's not bad, but it's just not adoring. It's not a relationship that just causes you to desire to just go and get in His lap and know that you are the beloved. I want you to make that relationship with your Father who absolutely loves you. He has not rejected you. He is not rejecting you. He is your Father. Again, He's not God to you. He's not him. Where you can't even say His name. He's my Father. Okay. verse 45, Matthew 5:45. That you, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you and despitefully use you. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Is that what you do? Send rain on the evil and the just? Send sunshine on the evil and the just? On the just and the unjust? Is that what you do? Amen. Or you just shine on the just? You just bless the just. Remember what he said? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Oh man, this is a bad list. And pray for them which despitefully use you. That's probably the hardest one of all to the flesh. I mean, it's not like, you know, some of the other things you identify, well, that's just an evil person. But the last one is kind of like those who are just nasty around you. Those who despitefully use you. They're just, I mean, they'll take your lunch and they'll, you know, take your spot, take your parking place. Those are the kind of people you just love to hate. You know, it's kind of easier to love really bad people because they're obviously sinners, but it's harder to love the ones who people just irritate you. Amen. I know I do. Can't stand people that irritate me. How many can't stand your wife when she irritates you? How many people can't stand your husband when you irritate? Janet, raise your hand. There you go. Yeah. Can't stand your husband when he irritates you. Just as recently as this morning, we've irritated one another. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so much fun. So much fun to be married. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Love them. Pray for them. It's an even better thing to do is pray for them. Pray for them. Here's somebody's despitefully. Somebody just took your parking place. Lord, bless them with that parking place. I'd even prayed for that parking place. Called it out by faith. And then somebody got in it. Listen, that you may be the children of your Father. He says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you, that you may be the children of who? Your Father. Your Father. Well, it's a demonstration of His love and His mercy, isn't it? Is this who He is? That you may be the children of your Father. Again, but He says, your Father. This is something that Jesus is pointing out that this is what you look like as you begin to know that He's your Father. Amen? This is as you begin to know Him as Father. The more you begin to know Him as Father, the more you begin to be transformed. I believe this is that until you know your Father as Father, you're not going to be transformed outwardly, because you think you're under some obligation to perform, to have your Father love you. But you are now, as you know the Father loves you, you just begin to operate in His likeness. You begin to look like Him. Amen? You just begin to look like it. This is your Father. Do you know He was your Father, or do you think He was God and you had to do something? No, this is your Father. This is your Father, and you begin to look like Him because you're worshiping Him, you're loving Him, you're thanking Him, you're praising Him, you're coming up into His lap. You know that He loves you. This is a transformation of your mind. Amen? It's transformation of the heart. Amen? Because there's a heart. Say, the heart of man is what? Desperately wicked. Meaning the inward man. That's the old inward man that is being transformed and renewed day by day. You know? And so God wants you to know. He wants you to hear and meditate on Him as your Father. Amen? Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father. See, he's tying and identifying your perfection to your fatherhood, to your parentage. Amen? He's tying your love of your enemies to your parentage. He's tying your life and action and the way you live to your parentage. His is your Father. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now God's beginning to work that in you, isn't He? He's going to begin to complete you. He's going to begin to make you in His image. Chapter 6, 1. Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you would have no reward of your Father. Your Father. Verse 4. That your alms may be... Verse 3. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your alms may be in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret Himself, shall reward you openly. Okay, so that's giving. Verse 6, but when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to who? We've heard it so much. You've heard your Father so much that you don't even make a distinction. Father God is kind of a Bible term. He's Father in relationship to Jesus. And they kind of let you in on the deal, you know, or let you in the room while Jesus is praying, you know. Pray in the Father's name. I pray in Jesus' Father's name. Amen? I mean, listen to me. Is that, find out where your head's at. I tell you, most of your problem is where your head's at, isn't it? Huh? Because you're believing lies. You're believing wrong things. You say Father, but you mean Jesus Father. I want you to hear that. You say Jesus Father, but you mean, you say Father, but you mean in your mind Jesus Father. It's like those guys, you know, are casting out the devils, you know, over there with the seven sons of Sceva there. You know, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't know Jesus. It's like we're saying, we pray in the name of the Father who's Jesus' Father. Well, that don't work. That doesn't help anything. It doesn't help for you to pray in the Father's pray the Father in Jesus' name if He's not your Father. He's your Father. This God of heaven and earth is your Father. Your daddy. He is your daddy. Come on in. Come on in. Write me your Christmas list. Forget Santa Claus. Come in. Sit with me. How many of you go home and you sit on the big sofa? Come in. You are absolutely welcome. Come in. Sit down. Lay down. You know, come on in, do this. You know, just lay down. Come into the Father's house. Come into the Father's house. Lay down, relax, enjoy. Okay, that was the giving. Verse 6 of chapter 6 in Matthew. But you, when you enter in to pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that you should be heard for their much speaking. So, you know, much speaking, vain repetitions, thinking that God likes you to say something 25 times. Likes to hear you just God's not interested in that. You know, said that Elijah, righteous man, prayed that it would not rain for 3 years. It rained not upon the earth. Lord, let it not rain for 3 years upon the earth. Didn't rain. Didn't say much. You remember that story I just referred to in the prophets of Baal. I mean, those guys from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, you know, until the time of the evening oblation, evening offering, you know, Baal! Baal! Cutting themselves and screaming, hollering, yapping, whole 9 yards. Then nothing happened. Then Elijah gets up and says, God, I know you're the God of heaven and God of earth. Show yourself mighty. Boom. There's a lot of fire. That's it. You don't need to just wail and wail. God's not interested in all that. Amen? Just pray. Pray the Father in my name. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, you'll have it. But just remember here, whose father he's talking about? Yours. He's talking about your father. You got to know this guy's your father. You got to act like he's your father. A lot of people get all excited about the Holy Ghost. You know, they carry the Holy Ghost around in their pocket. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the Holy Ghost is a big deal these days. The Holy Ghost does one thing. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will show you me, and he'll reveal the Father. That's all you want. You thank the Holy Ghost because he reveals the Father. Amen? That's what he wants you. The Holy Ghost wants you to know the Father. Holy Ghost is God. But his job, his portion is to reveal your Father. Amen? So you want to carry the Father with you. Oh, Holy Ghost, do A, B, C. Holy Ghost, do this. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost isn't interested in you telling him to do anything. He wants you to pray to your Father. He wants you to pray to your Father. Say this with me. I want to pray to my Father. There you have it. It sounded funny to some of you, didn't you? You thought of your dad. You know? I said, really? Pray to my dad? Yeah. Not really your dad, but in the same thought that you just had when I say, oh, I'll pray to my Father. Say this with me. It's going to get recorded, so we're not going to put your name on it. Say, I'm going to pray to my dad. Say it. I'm going to pray to my dad. Now, did you get that picture of your dad in your head? So like, this is weird. It's weird. But he wants you to know that same birth relationship. Now, some of you don't have that wonderful relationship with your dad. But just the thought that your dad is God. Not dad, but God is your dad. But God is your dad. He's your Abba. Abba in the Scripture is that familiar term for father. He's your daddy. He is your daddy. He is the one who loves you, who cares for you, who when he ran when the son who had done wickedly, he ran. He's looking for him every day. You know, God's looking for you every day. Amen. He's looking for you every day to come home. Where is she? Where is she? How come she hadn't come home yet? Lo, I want her to come home. Amen. He's your father. He loves you. Oh, he loves you perfectly. He loves you. He's not disappointed in you. Hey, you may not like all the stuff you do, but in that he doesn't like the stuff that you do, what he's doing is he's transforming you as you come to him. Come to him. I need my children to come to me so I can help them. Amen? So let me do it. Let me help you. All right, keep going. Verse 8. Be not like them, the much speaking people. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Doesn't your Father? Your Father knows you have need of all these things. Remember whatever Jesus said? He said, your Father knows you need something to put on. You need something to wear. You need something to eat and drink. You need a place to stay. Your Father knows you have need of all these things. And then verse 9, after this manner, pray you, our Father. First, you start out how do you start out the prayer? Our Father. See, we're so used to it, we just don't even pay attention. very first words in the prayer that Jesus taught you how to pray. This is how you start out. Oh, holy, almighty, magnificent. No, our Father. Do you hear me? Yeah. Oh, you know, didn't start it. Oh, God. Did he? Did Jesus start out like that? When he taught you how to pray. After this manner, pray. Pray like this. Our Father. Forget all the big hairy God thing. Pray to your Father who art in heaven. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, it's very interesting. The relationship of a God not forgiving trespasses and the implication of a Father not forgiving your trespasses. In my estimation, that's not necessarily permanent. It's not like, well, I'm writing you off, sending you to hell. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So he's going to begin to teach you how to forgive. Amen? And you may have a little trouble. Then we'll get into that in a minute. We'll get into that in a minute, another part of the scripture about how God will manage you. Sometimes as children, we need to be managed. Amen? You need to be managed. It's a good word for punishment, discipline. Good word for discipline is being managed. You need to be managed as a child. Okay? Okay, verse 18. This is still chapter 6 of Matthew 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not to men to fast, but to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. So we're talking about giving, we're talking about praying, we're talking about fasting. To your Father, privately. To your Father, privately. So it's all in chapter 6 of Matthew. Praise, give secretly. Your Father sees and rewards you. Pray secretly. Father hears you, rewards you. Fast secretly. You know, don't come to church looking like you're fasting, you know. All greasy and dirty and disheveled. Now come to church looking like, praise God, hallelujah. Don't impress anybody with your fasting. Amen. Okay, now, verse 25, chapter 6. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? What do you say? Take no thought. Take no thought. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be anxious about it. Amen? Doesn't mean don't go buy clothes. Please buy some. You know, cover up before you come to church. You know, hey, I'm just waiting on God to send me some clothes. Or wash the clothes you have. I know y'all do. Somebody might hear a tape, though. You know, you got people who come to church. I'm waiting for God to give me some new clothes. Well, wash the ones you have, honey. Or sit over there. Wash the ones you have. It doesn't say take no thought, meaning don't worry about what mess you're wearing. No, that's not what you're saying. It said don't worry that you won't have enough. Don't worry that you won't have enough. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, and neither gather they into barns, for your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father feeds them. So your Heavenly Father actually feeds birds. Are you not much better than they? Worth more than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I've tried that. Doesn't work. Take it from me. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass of the field today, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Remember who he's talking to? Talking to a bunch of Jews out on the mountain. We saw the mountain over there. We went over there and saw the mountain. It's right off the Sea of Galilee. Right over off the Sea of Galilee is where we saw the... Because that's where, you know, of course, we didn't read the Beatitudes, but that's what this sermon started out with. And so we were out there, and of course, it's just a big grassy hill.
General vicinity, I'm sure. You know, yes, Jesus stood right on this spot. I don't know they're quite... They can be quite that accurate. But it's beautiful, just beautiful area. Just to see, again, pictures don't do things justice because a picture can't
go as wide as you can. You know, pictures like this. I wish I could see the right or the left. But, I mean, your eyes, you know, I can see that chair over there and that chair over there. So I can see this almost 180-degree panorama of what's going on. And it's so powerful to see those things. That's the reason to go. That's the reason to go to Israel, is just to see the vistas, see it with your own eyes. Because again, a photograph just, you know, you can't do much with. And so it's really powerful to go. And to if you can go in, you know, with Jim, that's great. Go some other time. I want to go again. It's so powerful to see those things. For after all these things did the Gentiles seek, your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take no thought therefore for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof, the trouble thereof, the worry thereof. So it says, your Heavenly Father knows of all these things that you need, but it says, seek first His kingdom. Seek your Father's kingdom. This is your Father's kingdom, by the way. You remember, this is your Father's kingdom. You are a son, a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King of the universe. Blessed art thou, O God, O Lord, King of the universe. It's like Jesus, He's the King of Kings. Well, God's the King of Jesus. King of the universe. That's the phrase that they use when you've heard it at the Passovers. You'll be used. Blessed art thou, O God, O Lord, King of the universe, who gives us the fruit of the vine, who gives us the bread from the earth. He's the King of the universe, and He's your Father. Chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who is, if his son, here we go, ask a bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then being evil, like me, know how to give good gifts to your children. Let's see, should I give my child, shall I give Esther a fish or a snake? If you being evil, then know how to give good gifts. See, should I give her an egg or a scorpion? Let me think about this. No,
I kind of know that she should get an egg. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father? You as parents versus your Father as parent to you. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Do you expect good things from your Father? Jesus said this. The Bible said this. You know. I don't care what somebody else wants to say that is trying to come against some other kind of teaching. You know, and they have an issue with some kind of what they call bad teaching or false teaching in the body of Christ. It says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Ask to them that ask who? Say it again. Who's Him? Your Father. Say, my Father. See, you got to figure out who. That's a good verse for you to kind of mess with and circle and stuff like that. See, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Them is you. Asking Him is your Father. What's He give? Good things, if you'll ask. Well, I seem to get, you remember like, what was it? Charlie Brown always, going out on Halloween. It's because he's out on Halloween, by the way. You don't go out on devil holidays and expect to get good things. But, no, you remember Charlie Brown, he'd always go up, all the kids would get candy, and Charlie Brown would get a rock. That's your thought of God, isn't it? I got a rock. They all go out and check all their candy. Randy. Hey, I got a blah. I got a Butterfinger. I got a Tootsie Roll. I got a, whatever. Cupcake. I got a rock. I mean, he announced it at the end. It's kind of the downer at the end. I got a rock. Not you. I got a rock. I tell you what, God gives good things to them that ask Him. Do you know He's your Father? Do you expect good things because He's your Father? Oh, He's a good Father. He's a good Father. In the world, you have trouble. But you need to continue to ask God because He's going to give good things to His children. Amen? Hello? I'm just reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. I just read the one verse, I think I read it in context because I read the whole passage. Okay? Amen. Oh, Matthew, turn to Matthew 10. I don't even remember what this scripture is. Matthew 10. Okay. Verse 18. Verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father. The Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Isn't that powerful? Circle that. I've been doing that. Circle that. Your Father. Spirit of your... Can you write in your Bible? I said, can you write in your Bible? Okay. First of all, turn to the front page and write your name in it. I always do this. About once a year I do this. Is your name in the front of your Bible? I didn't see anybody turn to the front of their Bible. You say yes. Now, my name is in front of my Bible. A lot of times, I can get all kinds of nice Bibles because the people don't have their name in them. You ought to put your name and your phone number in front of your Bible. Everybody right now, turn to the front of your Bible and put your name in it. This is a good pastoring, by the way. Well, I don't have my Bible. I lost it. I don't know where it is. I did that one time. I lost a very good Bible with a ton of notes in it, and I didn't have my name in it.
and it got stuck in the lost and found or given to somebody. Now, did everybody take care of that problem? I know some. Mine didn't even have a place for my name. It had a name, had a place for a bunch of, you know, marriage stuff or something. It was something weird. It had no place for my name. I just picked a place. Just pick a place, write it, write your name in it. Okay, so we should have no Bibles here without your name in it. Okay, very good. Now go ahead and write, and now since you have that pen out, go ahead and circle that verse 20 right there. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Now make sure you get the context, because that's not always true. Anybody ever experienced that? It's not always true that it's your Father who's speaking in you. But usually when they deliver you up and they scourge you and stuff like that, you're going to be in a position where probably you're going to be praying and the Father will go ahead and speak through you. It is not you that speak, verse 20 of chapter 10 in Matthew. Chapter 10, verse 20. It is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father. That's the part I want you to underline. Your Father, which speaks in you. Again, it's very important that you realize that this is the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you at this time. Amen? Not God. The Spirit of your Father. This is your Father. Your Father, you pray and your Father openly rewards you. You pray, you fast, you give secretly and your Heavenly Father rewards you. This is your Father in heaven who demonstrates Himself, shows Himself mighty in you. Amen. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father. Again, we looked at, I'll refer to it as the story of the prodigal son, that the father does not condemn or disown the son, but he in fact is looking for him. He's constantly looking for him. If you've messed up, if you've done wickedly, you've left the house, as it were, God is after you. He's looking for you. He's watching for you. You know, that boy is like the guy who says that you teach a child the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He came to himself in the pig pen. He would have eaten the pig food, but nobody would even give him any pig food. Not for the pigs, leave it alone. You imagine that? You know, pig feed must have been expensive. Pig pods. He would have gladly eaten of the pods. I didn't know pigs ate pods. I thought they ate everything. He would gladly eaten of the pods that the pigs ate, but no man gave to him. I can imagine that. He says, no, put that down. That's for the pigs. Got to fatten up our pigs. We don't want to fatten up you. You can't even have pig food. I tell you what, there's places that it's true around here is that if you go off on your own and doing all kinds of silly stuff, you know, you can't even eat, there's no pig food for you. He, all of a sudden he came to himself. I could have had a V8. I know. How much of my father's servants have food enough and to spare, and yet here I am starving. I will go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Yeah, that's what I'll do. At least I'll get something to eat. So he got himself up, went to his father's house, and yet while he was a long way off, his father saw him. Well, his father must not have been in the back of the house. Where was his father? They must have lived up on a big hill. Because when he was yet a far way, long way off, who saw him? His father saw him. His father saw him. And he ran. Remember the song, God Ran? When God ran, took me in his arms, put shoes on his feet. He said, commanded shoes to be put on his feet, a ring on his finger, put a robe on him. This is my son. Kill the fatted calf.
We're going to have a party. Because my son who was lost has been found. You know what lost is? Lost is when you don't know God's your Father. You think you're abandoned. Lost is when you don't know that you have a Father who loves you. Amen? He loves you. He is your Father. He is not God any longer to you. He is your daddy, your Father. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to train you. He wants to raise you up. Then we have the other boy, but that's another message. That's not another message, really. That boy was under guilt and condemnation. He didn't see the father as a father either. He saw the father as a slave driver. Amen? The other boy saw the father as just a slave driver. Hard master. Like the guy with the talents, you know. I knew you were a hard master. You never gave me a kid with my friends. You never asked. Bottom line was, he says everything that I have is yours. This is your father. Everything I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. The God of heaven and earth, everything I have is yours. Son, you've been with me all these years. Everything I have is yours. He's not a slave driver. You're not his servant, you're his son. Hebrews. By the way, that story is Luke chapter 15, if you want to read it. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 for just a minute. We're not going to do a long thing on it. Just bring out a couple of things. Verse 5, and have you forgotten, this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children? My son. Okay, there's your father, right? My son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges, spanks every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? In other words, there's not a son. You're a child of God. You've been chosen. You've been adopted. You've received him. You're a son. Now he's going to form you. Chastening is formation. Chastening is discipline. Chastening is changing you. Transformation. Romans chapter 12 is transformation. Be ye not conformed to this world, that is, like a piece of clay or cloth or aluminum foil wrapped around this rock. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that you may grow. Okay? That's Romans 12:2. So he says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? They didn't one. You want to be a son? You want to be chastened. You want to be a daughter of God? You want to be chastened. Amen? Formed, transformed. Is it comfortable? No. It is not. It is uncomfortable to be transformed. To change, you know, to be turned into something that you did not used to be. You're being transformed. Your mode of thinking. Well, I don't think that way. Well, you do now. God said. You know. What was that? There was something that, something like this, some thought like that that came to me that, you know, that you are now, you know, you weren't, but you are now. You know, it's something that God said to me like that. I can't remember what it was at this point, but it's just, you know, you say you're not that, but I don't know you. You are now. Whatever you thought you weren't, you are now because you belong to me. You're my son. It's how you are. See, the thing is, you are standing against what God is transforming you into. You're resisting what He is transforming you into. See? Hallelujah. I'm not a rejoicer. Well, shut your mouth. You are too. Now open your mouth. You got a mouth, it's like your stick. It's like the stick. Well, throw it on the ground. What do you got in your hand? Stick. Throw it on the ground. You know, turn to snake. Now pick it up. See, that thing was a snake. Yeah, guess what? Your mouth is another snake. Huh? I said your mouth is a snake. What do you got in your face? It's a mouth. Well, throw it on the ground. See, God wants to take that mouth and He wants to turn it into something that praises Him rather than curses the darkness, rather than curses your trouble. Amen? How'd we get up on this message? Your mouth is a problem because you resist. How many times do you resist God with your mouth? Like, remember earlier in this message, I said something. Say God poked you and said, you know, tell you to testify and you say no. Well, what was that? That's your mouth. I mean, you may not have said it out loud, but you meant it. No. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to stand up. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to give glory to God. Well, you're sinning. God said, testify. Give glory. Give glory to God. Hey, learn how to give glory to God. Don't learn how to be, well, I don't have anything to say. Nonsense. Have you been born again? You have something to say. I've been born again. My Father, today you can, next week you can say, my Father loves me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that He was my Father. So you can testify of that next week. Amen? Well, I already knew that. Well, you knew it in word only. I don't know that you knew it the way you know it now. I know I didn't know it the way I knew it now. Testify. Throw your mouth down. Make your mouth subject to God. Amen? Make your mouth subject to God. Praise Him. You know, get here in time to sing. I hate singing. Fine. Then make sure you get here. Amen. If you hate singing, get here on time to sing. Because we're not singing for Chad. Even though he's nice enough to be here to give you a little bit of music. You're singing to God. You're worshiping God. You're here to worship God. Hallelujah. Get here to worship God. You can go home like me and take a nap later. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you endure chastening, verse 7, I'm going to make this quick. God deals with you as sons, for what son is it whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, if you refuse chastisement, whereof all of your partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean what we mean. It means you're illegitimate. You're not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us and gave them, and we gave them reverence. Darn tootin'. You knew what was coming. Okay. Don't do that. Shall we not much rather be in subjection, be under our Father, the Father of spirits, and live? For a few days, first 20 years, they chastened us after their own pleasure. Some of you are still being chastened by your parents.
You need to get under God.
Did you hear that? That was real good. Some of you are still under your parents and you're grown up. You need to get under God and get out from under your parents. Amen? Get out from under your mom and daddy. Honor your mom and daddy. Love them, bless them, but get under your Father in heaven. Get under your Father in heaven. For verily they chastened us a few days after their own pleasure. Stop, turn that TV down. You know what I'm talking about? Just things that, you know, kind of, you know how parents are, like me. Turn that down. Stop making that noise. Yeah, it's not, you know, that's just because it's bothering you, parents, which is not a problem. For they verily chastened us after their pleasure, but he for our profit. He for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous to the flesh. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby, to them which receive it. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. It's like the fasting thing. You know, coming to church. Hey, bud, you been fasting? He says here, lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up the feeble knees. Stand up straight. When you're being chastened. Chastening is just this. It's discipline. It's transforming you into the image of the Father. Amen? Huh? That's what it is. And everybody gets it. It's not because you sinned today. It's not because you sinned 30 years ago and now God is chastening you for the rest of your life. Chastening comes because you're a son. Chastening comes because you're a child of the Father. Chastening is transformation. Amen? Huh? Chastening is transformation. It's not because of your sin. It's because that sin dwells in your flesh and you had to get rid of it. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and He's beginning to transform you from one degree of glory to the next. Beholding Him, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Well, Father, we thank You this morning that You're our Father. We magnify You, we glorify You, we praise You, we sing to You. Lord God, You're our Father. Our Father. You're my Father. And Father, this day I just ask You to manifest that fatherness, fatherhood, to all those who are here this morning, to declare to them You are their Father. To show them Your attributes as their Father, the one who loves them, who's chosen them, who's adopted them, and now who is transforming them to be made into Your image. And now that you're giving to them good things. We love our fathers on the earth. We love them even if they were evil. We forgive them. But Father, we do not put them in Your place. And rather, if we had good fathers, where we think of our Father when we think of the words Your Father, Father, we now want to transfer that fatherhood to You, but even more. To You, but even more. So I thank You for Your Holy Spirit manifesting that transformation in our thinking, in our understanding. Thank You for making Jesus, Father, our Father. And we give You all the praise and the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord with our giving this morning. Father, we just give You praise and thank You that You're giving for us. Is complete through Christ Jesus. And we thank You, Lord God, now that just as we give because You have given it to us, that all of You, we thank You that our needs are met. We give just because that You are our source and we have no fear. Our giving is to demonstrate and bring forth the kingdom of God. And we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, here, let me